Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate all of you coming. I want to talk about how... Is that all right in your ear, Mark?
What?
Critter Stadium. Water is precious. I want to state what's so important. It is precious, and it is to be cherished, and it creates life. Water is life. We had a good meeting today, and I'm very grateful to my friends, Governor Bob Riley, Governor Sonny Perdue, and our great Secretary Dirk Kempthorne, for traveling and coming here to Tallahassee today to help us continue to work out this important issue between Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. I also want to welcome our friends from the Alabama, Georgia, and of course Florida Press Corps. Your talent and ability to help us communicate on this important issue, we're grateful for very much. We've made some very good progress, I believe, today as well. Let me first say to the people of Apalachicola that I appreciate hearing their views and the concerns of those fine people. Florida's oyster industry faces an uncertain spring due to the current drought. I'm pleased that collectively we've removed the June 1st date that reduced the flow of water into Florida previously set by the Army Corps from our timeline. I'm concerned about the spawning season along the Apalachicola River and Bay, and appreciate the consensus on that point, General. Thank you very much. Spawning season is critical to our Northwest Florida economy, and I had the occasion recently, Governors and Secretary, to meet with some of those fine people, and their words have not left my heart. Thankfully, due to recent rain, as a matter of fact, the past 48 hours, the water flow into Florida is at about 5,400 cubic feet per second now. As I say, 48 hours ago, that number was only about 4,700 cubic feet. So the cool weather that you feel today was preceded by a lot of water. Thank God. This is a great help for the short term, obviously. We all share the difficulties of the current drought. All three of our states must provide for comprehensive water conservation efforts as we continue to move forward. Florida is currently in a drought. South Florida is conserving water as a result of that drought. And we're very proud of that fact. Conservation is the key to our future progress. And all of us are aware and appreciate that. Finally, I want to, before I have the Secretary come up and then my colleagues, I want to again thank these great friends for coming and traveling to Tallahassee. It's always good to have friends in the Sunshine State. And once again, she accommodated us well. So welcome to the People's House. And with that, Secretary Kempthorne, if you'd like to give us some good comments.
Governor Chris, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be in the Sunshine State, this warm state. Let me say at the outset, I commend Governor Crist, Governor Perdue, Governor Riley for their leadership on this issue of water among these three states. This is an issue that has been with us for many, many years. It predates these governors. These governors have now stepped forward and have made it very clear that they will resolve the challenges that we face. The meeting which we held today was very beneficial. It was very candid, and at times it was very blunt. That's exactly the atmosphere that it should be if you're intent and serious about finding a solution. These governors are intent and serious about finding a solution. And I have every confidence that that solution will be found. I also want to thank the Chief of the Corps of Engineers, General Van Antwerp, and General Schrodel. The Corps plays a key role in all of this, and therefore they were at the table. I also want to thank Sam Hamilton, our Regional Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, because again, of the role that the Fish and Wildlife Service plays in this entire issue. There is a drought here in the South. We used to think that that was something that was only pertinent to the West. We're now experiencing it very real life here in these three states and other states in the South. With that drought, what did we agree upon today? Today, these governors reaffirmed that they will have a tri-state agreement that will be a drought emergency plan that they will then present to the Corps of Engineers by February 15th. In order to accomplish that, the governors have agreed to a proposal which is to send to Washington, D.C. by the middle of January a team of policy and technical people from each of those states that will then sit in partnership with federal partners. It will include the Corps of Engineers, it will include the Fish and Wildlife Service, it will include the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the EPA, the Bureau of Reclamation, which does not have jurisdiction here. Their jurisdiction on construction is the 17 states. It's west of the Mississippi. But because of their tremendous experience with this, I've asked them to join us, as well as the U.S. Geological Survey. Those two entities, plus Fish and Wildlife Service, are under the jurisdiction of the Department of the Interior. The chairman of the Council on Environmental Quality for the President, Jim Conaton, and I will convene this session in Washington, D.C. If you follow the timelines of this, this working session that will occur in Washington, D.C. during the month of January is so that they can, in fact, achieve a federal tri-state agreement on what the drought emergency plan will be. That will be submitted to the Corps of Engineers. From that, the Corps will be able to revise their emergency drought operating plan. They then submit that to the Fish and Wildlife Service. Fish and Wildlife Service has committed that within 30 days of the receipt of that, February 15th, that they will then be able to certify a revised biological opinion. So we're looking at a revised biological opinion March 15th. A lot of very dedicated, talented people are all going to work together on this. It is now on our watch, and we believe that we can find a solution. I believe that what is important is the fact that where the states have worked with this diligently in the past, and the federal government worked with the responsibilities they had, there was not the environment of partnership which now exists. That's why the working group is going to be at the same table, state and federal people working together. No vacuum. Working as partners. And I really put a lot of faith in that, as do these governors, and as do the other individuals that I've named. So I'm very pleased with the progress today. This was real. It was meaningful. And there was some trepidation before coming in here because we have so many issues and so many different needs of that precious water. But the atmosphere today just reinvigorates me that we can get this done and we're dedicated to do so. So, Governor Chris, thank you again for hosting this. You can be very proud of your state, as the other governors are proud of theirs. And we're all proud of the United States. And we're going to demonstrate what it means to be united on this particular project.
Thank you, Secretary. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I'd like to call on Governor Perdue of Georgia.
Thank you, Governor Chris. From the size of this media gaggle here, we need to have one of these in Georgia. It'd help our tax base. Thank you all. Thank you, Governor Chris, for sharing your beautiful people's home of Florida and a great grove here. Thank Governor Riley for being here today and for our delegations. Most of all, I want to thank Secretary Kemp Thorne, Secretary of the Interior, our Fish and Wildlife, the Chief of the Corps of Engineers, all the partners. When Governor Riley and I began this with Governor Chris' predecessor almost 5 years ago, those pieces were somewhat missing. And I believe that we sense today a commitment from the Secretary of the Interior, from the Fish and Wildlife Service, from the Corps of Engineers, as well as from free governors, that working together we can resolve this issue that's been lingering among our states for many, many years. I'm hopeful. Again, I think the first step in this is the kind of conversation we had today, which was candid and frank and productive. and hopefully we can continue that with the technical aspects in January that can put together and build toward a plan that we all three can agree, where our citizens can feel that they're all well served by the agreements that we reach. So thank you, Governor Chris. Thank you, Governor Riley, Secretary Kempthorne, and all who came today to make this happen. And I look forward to continuing to finalize this process.
Thank you again, Governor Perdue, and my friend from Alabama, Governor Riley.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Again, let me thank everyone that participated today. We really did make a lot of progress today. Whether I was in Congress or in the governor's chair, I don't think I've ever been in a more productive meeting. And I think a lot of it is due to the leadership of our Secretary of Interior. He not only has given us a framework to work through, he's also given us a very aggressive time pattern that we have to live up to. Now, when we go back to Washington in the middle of January, that's going to give us an opportunity to do a couple of things we haven't done before. And that's take a factual pattern and see if we can come up with a solution that we can use as a basis or a foundation moving forward. We've never had that before. But if you look back over the last few months, we have made some remarkable progress because we had benchmarks to work from. All of a sudden, because we did have all of the federal partners around the same table with the Corps, with all of the governors, the benchmarks that we set a month ago today are making a world of difference in every reservoir in Alabama. That's the type of progress we want to see continue going forward. I believe this was, as was described a moment ago, as frank and candid. It was brutally candid. But that is what we have to have. We have to have all the participants to lay every concern on the table so we can fully address them. I think we can. I think we can come up with a solution going forward that will change the whole dynamic of the river systems for the next generation. And we're committed to doing it by the middle of February. That's aggressive, but it's that aggressiveness that I think will lead ultimately to a solution. Thanks.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you very much.
If you have any questions, we'll collectively do our best to answer them. Mark?
Well, you met for how many hours?
A lot.
And you basically agreed to have a technical meeting, and then the foundation of this technical meeting will go through the process. How is that really significant progress to agree to have another meeting?
Well, anytime you continue to have dialogue, you're doing something very good. And, you know, meetings can break down sometimes, too. And I think the good news is that not only did we agree to get together again before the middle of January, but we identified an awful lot of issues that are very important to each and every one of our states. That's also tremendous progress, because in order to be able to go forward, you have to know where you are and what your concerns are. And so that was accomplished as well. But, you know, in addition, I think that, you know, the fact that we continue to dialogue, that we continue to meet, gives us much greater hope and, frankly, greater hope to the people of our states, to the endangered species of our collective states, and what's really important to those that we serve. You know, this is an enormously important issue, talking about water. And, you know, the further we get down the road, the more important it's going to become. And I think that, you know, the progress that we have made today is enormous. And I, like the other governors, I can't thank Secretary Kempthorne enough for his leadership. His demeanor, I dare say, is to be credited with the continued goodwill that is the most important component, I think, of this meeting. And Secretary, I don't know if you would add to that.
Governor. Let me add one comment to that. The difference is today, we've had a few weeks now where we had some hard numbers to work with. We've seen what the results of the decreased flows were going to be in all of our states. Now then, we have, because we had that agreement, we use that as a foundation today to say, going forward, what if we did this? Now, there was some misunderstanding and some different opinions about what that should be. But when you look at it and compare where we are today with where we were just a month, 6 weeks, 2 months ago, we have come a long, long way because we have hard data today to work with.
Governor Chris, may I just add, in
the discussion today helped fill out what the agenda will be at the D.C. meeting. The fact that you had information that was presented by the Corps of Engineers, that you had different interpretations by the different states. Now, how can that be? Well, that's what leads to then some real candid conversation about what do those numbers mean? Why would you say this? And so we need to begin to see the data from a common baseline. And that was the beginning today, is a new baseline of accepting data and accepting it as real and dealing with perceptions and misperceptions. And to have the governors that were leading that discussion helped the technical members of the staff to realize, okay, we need to get to the root of this. So I think this really helped further define what that agenda has to be, because if we don't see the world in the same view, we'll never agree. Today we started to get closer to agreement.
Mr. Kemp, what are the main issues in detention, please? And are we looking at mainly the ACF? And what are the main issues? The biggest issue for Georgia, the biggest issue for Alabama, the biggest issue for Florida. What's separating you guys?
Well, I'll let them respond to that. But we spoke about both the ACF and the ACT. They are connected. There's a physical connection. You have use of both of those drainages by citizens of the respective states. So, we're going to look at that in its entirety. It's both connected physically and politically. And so these three states need to look at those two basins. But as far as their specific needs, I would leave that to them to address.
Governor Chris, can I ask about the letter that I believe Mike Soule wrote on December the 5th, in which there had been a 5% reduction in flow at Woodruff, and I don't have the letter in front of me, but his language...
Neither do I.
That essentially, the damage to the oystering beds was... Are you backing off of that today, or are you still deeply concerned about what's happening in that class?
I'm concerned about everything. It's an answer I give a lot around here because it happens to be the truth. So I'm deeply concerned, but I'm enormously encouraged. Originally, we had a date of June 1 by which there wouldn't be an increase in flow, if you will, that would get to Apalachicola Bay. That's been, in large measure, resolved today and moved up to March. So, you know, I'm very pleased about the progress that's been made as it relates specifically to Apalachicola Bay and the oysters and the mussels that that will affect. I have not pressured anyone.
If I could ask you to follow up on what I asked before he did, what is the biggest issue for you? What is the biggest issue for you, Mr. Perdue, for you, Mr. Riley? What are the biggest stumbling blocks? Do you guys agree to something?
Well, you know, nothing separates us. I think it's real important to realize that we're here together, and that's the most significant thing, I think. But, you know, all of us are concerned about conservation. All of us are concerned about being good stewards. All of us are concerned about the precious water that we need to supply, not only to our environment, but to our people, of course. And the best thing, I think, to share with you is the fact that in this cooperative spirit of working together, we will find solutions to those things that concern us. One of my main concerns is Apalachicola Bay. But it's all those other things as well, and I'll let the others speak for themselves.
Flow of water at Apalachicola.
Yes.
Mr. Perdue, what's your biggest issue?
I think the biggest issue for all three states is how we fairly and adequately allocate a resource as vital and precious as water in times of scarcity. What is a protocol going forward in managing these watersheds as a system that give us the protocol of predictability when certain climate factors happen? What will happen in all of our areas, from the industry, from the energy, from the navigation, from the endangered species, from municipal drinking water, all of those? How do we, governors, come together with our federal partners, the Corps, the Fish and Wildlife, to determine a protocol of how the water is shared. That's the issue that's always been there, and we're making progress in the facts of how to get there. Well, I think the Secretary's insistence on the February 15th commitment that we announced in Washington has precluded the date. What that date is preempted by is a workable system that we all agree to that allows this protocol to go forward, and essentially muting any kind of date-related timelines at all. The Fish and Wildlife Biological Opinion goes through the 1st of June. Hopefully we can have a system in place by that time using facts on a day-by-day basis, managing the watershed, that makes those kind of opinions on a time-sensitive basis of no effect. So we can have an agreement going forward is the hope of all of us, as well as the Secretary and our federal partners, that don't rely on dates, but a management protocol going forward forever.
Last question.
Let me say one thing about that. One of the things we have to understand is how different this process is. Before we all came together, before the Secretary brought all the federal partners together, anytime we wanted any type of modification, we would have to send a letter to either FERC or Fish and Wildlife or the Corps. Within 6 months to a year, we'd have an answer. We're talking about solving something we've been working on for 18 years within the next 2 months. And the reason we can even talk about that today is because we really do have all the decision makers present at the table. In addition to that, now we have a framework that we can continue to modify, but we have a framework going forward that has certain triggers that happen regardless of what any of these federal partners' decision might be. If they agree to this, then this is no longer theoretical, it's no longer hypothetical. These are the numbers. Once you hit this, this happens. That's something we've never been able to do before.